the jungle. There was a static in the attic, a moaning and a groaning, a fungus among us. We had a fight in the middle of the night. There was a fungus among us.
Which one is the fungus?
We were having a party the other night. Somebody got mad and they started to fight. I couldn't understand what it caused it all, but nevertheless, so we were having a ball. There was a fungus among us.
Which one is the fungus?
There was a fungus among us.
Which one is the fungus?
There was a cootie for a bruising. There was a winning and a losing. Put it to an end, being the trend, cause there's a fungus among us.
Oh yeah. You remember that song? Then you're as old as dirt. There was a fungus among us. We got a fungus going on among us these days, don't we? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I am not a fungus, and neither is Big Ed, my buddy, my partner. But we're all battling some sort of a crazy, I don't know if it's really a fungus. I guess it's a virus. There is a difference, I suspect. Anyway, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, January the 5th, 2022. We thank you so much for being here. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Gary Schmidt of the American Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the executive powers of the presidency as envisioned by the founding fathers as they were drafting the Constitution. I'm looking forward to that. Gary did quite a working paper on this. So we're going to find out what the founding fathers really thought about how strong a president should be. And on the anniversary, I guess it's the eve of the anniversary of the January 6th Capitol riot, we are going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. You know, he is the proprietor of the pole that is like mainstream America, the barber pole. It really is. It's what most people in this country feel and think. Anyway, we're going to find out what most people think about the so-called insurrection. Some people think it's just the storming of a federal building by a bunch of yahoos. So we're going to find out what the proprietor thinks, Andrew Ceresi. And Joe Biden's poll numbers continue to plummet. We're going to take a look at the latest bad news for the president when it comes to his favorability. And we got a great ultimate top 10. I'm looking forward to this one. The top 10 greatest movie lines, greatest movie quotes ever uttered on screen. The 10 greatest. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. You got to call first for your appointment. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. It's the best haircut I have ever gotten in my life. It's the friendliest place I've ever been in my life when it comes to a haircut. Call first, 727-733-3773. 733-3773. Well, you know, ADP, kind of a precursor to job numbers. And they say that December was a blowout great month for hiring. U.S. companies hired employees, according to them, at the fastest pace in 7 months. That's before a surge in the new Omicron coronavirus, by the way. You know, the new variant here, which seems to be infecting so many people. I mean, it really is. So ADP, National Employment Report, is claiming that 807,000 jobs last month were added. Now, that blew past the 400,000 gain that economists predicted. In other words, nobody knows what they're talking about when it comes to this hiring and employment stuff. Nobody. Nobody. Even the experts are all screwed up. I mean, how can you be 50%, you only come up with 50% of the actual number when you apply all of your mathematics and your logarithms or algorithms or whatever the isms are. Nobody knows what's going on. Anyway, here's the ADP chief. December's job market strengthened as the fallout from the Delta variant faded and the Omicron impact had yet to be seen. So December might be good. Now, you got to have the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics that will come out in a few more days with what they say are the numbers for employment and unemployment. And we'll see what those are as well. Now, did you know, Ed, that there is a new variant of the COVID-19? I'm not kidding. Did you know that it was found in France? Did you know that it has about a dozen people infected in France, and it's nicknamed IHU?
Is this a virus or rabbits?
It's a variant of the virus. A rabbit.
I'm talking about reproducing.
Yeah, it is like a rabbit. It does reproduce like a rabbit, doesn't it? So
I thought some candidate that was running for president said he's going to shut down the virus. Now we have three more variants now.
You know, Fox News, and in particular, I think Sean Hannity has had a lot of fun with going back to about 14 different times when Biden was running, that he said he was going to shut it down, and he had a plan to stop it. Really? One after, then they'll do one of the 14, then they'll come to the latest comment, which is, well, this is really something that is a state matter, or whatever he said about
the government.
The state's got to handle it.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying most recently. So they're having a field day with his telling everybody, you know, elect me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take care of this thing.
You realize he's had more time now to deal with this virus than Trump had?
Yeah, I believe
it. And Trump came up with a vaccine.
A lot more people have died on his watch, if you believe the numbers. Now, I look at those numbers with a grain of salt because those people, a lot of them were already, they just needed something. It's like, a gust of wind was going to knock them over.
They quit looking at the numbers, what was it, January 22nd last year? They didn't look at the death numbers anymore. Before that, it was all Trump's fault, and he should have been held, being charged with murder.
Yeah, now the mainstream, and what you're saying is the spotlight is not on the numbers of people dying anymore.
No, they don't do that, no.
Well, anyway, this is a new COVID variant, and the World Health Organization held a press conference about it yesterday, and it's infected about 12 people in France, and let's see, it's nicknamed IHU. I guess we could start calling it IHU, or HIU. We could turn it around, or IHU. Apparently in the Southern Alps region, people got it, and it's got 46, it says here the IHU variant has, this is kind of scary, has 46 mutations, but the strain has not become a major threat since its discovery. Isn't it interesting how, when we first heard about Omicron, and we heard it was in Africa? And then we said, okay, there's a new variant, it's in Africa, and we're hoping it doesn't come over here. Then there was one person, I think it was in California.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, and then it was...
And now look at it. It's like, what a multiplying... It's like a forest fire that just all of a sudden the wind blows it across the forest. Everything's caught fire with it. Very, very... it's kind of scary. But anyway, all right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, going to talk with Gary Schmidt of the American Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the founding fathers and what they envisioned as to the executive powers of the president.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on.
Oh, yeah, we're back. A lot of shaking going on these days. Delighted to be here, by the way, here on Freedom Works. And we are delighted to have Gary Schmidt join us. He's a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. And he's got something I'm finding very intriguing. It is a working paper that analyzes the views of the Office of the Presidency during the ratification of our Constitution. We're talking about 1787 and 1788 and what was going on in their heads. Gary, welcome to Freedom Works.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I find this so interesting. You have been analyzing what our founding fathers were actually thinking about and talking about as they created the Constitution when it came to the executive powers of the president. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, well, so this is part of a larger project that my co-author, Joe Bissett, who is a professor at Claremont McKenna College out in California. And this is one prospective chapter on what the book is about, which is the origins of the American presidency. And the discussion about the during the ratification period of the Constitution over the presidency is just a part of the puzzle to try to nail down exactly what the founders thought they were trying to accomplish in creating this office. And also, in this particular case, look at what some others were complaining about what they had created. That is, the Anti-Federalists was not totally happy with what the convention had done. And they also had their criticisms of what they had done when it came to creating the executive.
This is so timely, I guess you might say, because of what's going on now with the executive power of the president. And both in Trump and Biden's case, you know, coming out with these things, especially when it comes to, I guess, the virus situation, but other things as well. And whether or not they have the legislative right to issue these decrees, or whether it belongs in the Congress.
Yeah, no, that's an important point. One of the reasons why we're doing this book is, even though it seems like it's heavily historical, which of course it is, the truth is, every time a president does something that is somewhat controversial, everybody races back to their copy of the Federalist Papers or find the quote that they want to pull from Jefferson or Madison or Hamilton, and they throw that out. And Joe and I thought, well, look, we really need to sort of take a much more comprehensive and particular look at what they had done, so that when we do have these debates, we have a better record of understanding exactly what both the powers and the limits were that the convention and the founders had when it came to the presidency.
What about James Madison? Wasn't he more of getting the getting power back to the people, and not so much in the federal government? Am I right about that? That was part of it when he was creating this Constitution. I think you talk a little bit about James Madison argued that the authoritative account of the Constitution was not to be found in his own notes in the deliberations. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. No, so one of the issues was if you thought that the legitimacy of a government or a constitution rested on the consent of the people, as they did, then Madison's argument was what you really have to understand is what, if you want to pin down what the Constitution meant, you have to understand what the people debating it and ratifying the Constitution meant by it, as opposed to looking at the convention, the Constitutional Convention, where, Madison and others worked to create the draft that then went before the states for ratification. It's a little bit more complicated than that, because the truth is the convention notes and or the ratification debate give you a really comprehensive account. There were state conventions during the ratification debate, for example, that didn't keep records. There were a lot of delegates who didn't speak at all, so it's hard to know what they thought.
Right.
On the other hand, there's volumes and volumes of commentary during the ratification debate by both the defenders and the critics of the draft Constitution. So there's a lot of material. Trying to pull it together is, I think, what Joe and I were attempting to do with this draft chapter.
We're talking with Gary Schmidt. They've got a working paper going on. In hopes, I guess, you're going to have a book come out about the. Is your book,
yep,
Gary, going to be overall just about the shaping of the presidency? What exactly will that be about?
So it's focused on what did the framers intend with creating the American presidency. It has a very detailed, will have a very detailed account of both the powers and the character of the institution. And then it will also examine how it evolved in the early years of the country through the Washington, up through the Madison administration, to give people a perspective of how it evolved even in those early days.
Yeah.
When the founding generation obviously knew more about what they intended than, for example, somebody in the 1890s or 1930s or today.
What is one thing you found out in your research that most people don't know, perhaps, that you found rather intriguing about?
Sure.
You know what I mean? About their attempts to set all of this up. I mean, they were going, these people knew a king, a ruler, a monarch, a dictator, basically. That's what they grew up knowing. This is really, it's like jumping off a cliff. You don't know what's going to happen in a way, right?
Yeah. I mean, so that is an interesting question, because it appears that even though there was a considerable amount of, obviously anti-monarchical views because of the Revolution, I mean, the Declaration spends an immense amount of time, charging the King of England with all kinds of crimes. But then over the next decade, what they discovered is that, for example, in the states, the absence of independent executive authority led to kind of an imbalance where the legislature and majority rule created all kinds of political chaos and economic problems. And then at the federal level, under the Articles of Confederation, there was no single executive. And the problem there they faced was the fact that the lack of an independent unitary executive meant that waging the war and conducting diplomacy really was not done in an effective way. So by the time of the convention in 1787, there was quite a change in temper about how to think about executive authority, and out of that comes the American presidency. Now, one of the things, just if I can go on.
Yeah, please.
One of the most interesting things that we came across was one of the early state conventions or state constitutions was Pennsylvania's. And they had a list of, executive authorities and powers. And then New York, the next year, basically copied the same powers and authorities out of the Pennsylvania Constitution for the New York governor. But what's interesting is the Pennsylvania executive, which was a plural executive, was the weakest of all the state executives, and the New York governor was the strongest. So here you have a situation where they shared virtually the same set of authorities, and what made the difference was the actual institutional character of the two executives. And I think that's what drove, when you look at the Constitutional Convention, they spend much more time worrying about how to create the institution of the executive so it could be both effective but also Republican, and worried a lot less about the actual powers. And I think we kind of lose sight of that when we talk about the presidency today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, the perspective of how you're going to set something up and how are you going to limit this guy?
Yeah.
And you got a republic, so you're going to have, I mean, at this point when they're coming across, this is like, you know, it's like we got, they create the three branches. Now, I suspect from the Articles of Confederation, and of course, that was the attempt to create, you know, a set of laws for our country that ultimately failed. And then they went back again, and then they came up with the Constitution in 1789. But so they had kind of stumbled already when they came back. And had they already, before they even set up shop in the Constitution, had they already figured that we need three branches of government?
Yeah. I mean, that was the common way in the states. And what they discovered was that the lack of a system of separated powers at the national level was a real flaw. I mean, the Congress of the United States under the Articles of Confederation was both a legislative and an executive body. In fact, the matter is that they were actually taken up more with executive duties than they were legislative duties. And so when they got around to the convention, there was a real commitment that that had to be fixed, not only because separated powers made government safer, but also because when you distributed the powers to the properly organized institutions, government would actually be done in a better and more effective way.
So, Gary, coming back to the executive power of the president and looking at it today, it looks like that it was not completely formulated. Did they really? I mean, could a president back then get away with what perhaps Trump and Biden have been doing in the office today? Or was it a pure form back then so that they would say, no, you can't do that. You're supposed to execute the laws created by the legislative branch, not start formulating your own variants of the laws.
Well, it's a little bit complicated because there are some precedents, for example, Washington using his executive authority, for example, during the neutrality proclamation debate, that, you know, was done without congressional assent and had actual, people were prohibited from doing certain things, and so it's kind of legal even if the Congress hadn't passed the law. I think the more key issue is that as the national government's role has expanded, it's almost inevitable that then the executive power will expand to execute all these new laws. And so the real issue isn't so much the underlying executive power as the decision by Congress to expand the role of the federal government to all kinds of things that the founders never would have anticipated. So that's been a key issue that needs to be addressed.
Wow. We could talk for a long time about this. I'm absolutely, this is so interesting. I wish you the best on this, and I want to credit also not just you, Gary Schmidt, but is it Joseph Bissett and Alice Tweed Tui that are also involved in the creation of this document or working paper?
Yep. He's my co-author for a long time, fellow graduate student from the University of Chicago, and a good friend, and it's been a joy to work with him.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, maybe down the road when you get further along, we can talk again, and I thank you so very much, Gary, for coming on this morning.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
All right, sir. Gary Schmidt, American Enterprise Institute, working paper on the executive powers of the president. All right. Going to take our break when we come back. Indeed, this is, what do you call it, Insurrection Eve? Going to be talking with the proprietor of the barber pole about the January 6th Capitol riot.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. By the way, talking about the insurrection, I am going to be on Voice of Reason tomorrow. I'm going to be a call-in guest. Yes, indeed. At 10:30 on their show. They're on 10 to 11 a.m. every Thursday. Voice of Reason. Ed Colley, Joe Reinhart. They've graciously invited me to be a monthly guest on their show where we will take a topic, as in this case, the January 6th insurrection, and we will discuss it. I'm coming into it with kind of a libertarian conservative perspective as opposed to Ed and Joe, and I don't know what the hell perspective they... No, actually, they have the liberal perspective. So... We were going to have them on, by the way, Ed, next Wednesday. One of them. They'll call in. We'll have fun that way, too. Turnabout being fair play. We'll come up with some sort of a... In fact, I'll talk with Ed. Maybe we'll come up with a topic, Ed, that we can discuss with them. But, you know, January the 6th, they wanted to start out that day, and I don't blame them. I knew it was going to be the insurrection.
That's the big day for them. So when they're on your show next week, we'll have the Trump meter out. In other words, the meter will go off or the bell will go off every time they say it's Trump's fault.
Okay.
So now I'm going to change the batteries in it just the few minutes before the show.
Yes. Speaking about the insurrection, Rodney Davis, he is a Republican from Illinois on the House Administration Committee. In fact, he's the ranking member. And he shot off a letter to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, demanding that the House offices under her control stop obstructing their investigation into the Capitol building's security. You remember that the Speaker of the House is in charge of the Capitol building's security. She's not just in charge of her political party. She has to oversee that as well. So why are they not sending that information over to the ranking member, right? He says here, this is him in the letter, the events January 6th exposed serious security vulnerabilities at the Capitol. Unfortunately, over the past year, House Democrats have been more interested in exploiting the events of January 6th for political purposes than in conducting basic oversight of the security vulnerabilities that were exposed that day. All right. We've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll with us, Andrew Ceraci. Andrew, I'm going to be on Voice of Reason tomorrow. I hope you'll listen. I want to hear now what you think about that whole situation. Was it, in your opinion, an insurrection, or do you think it was a storming of a federal building by a bunch of yahoos?
I think it was a storming of the federal building by the FBI coaxing the yahoos.
Okay. The FBI's involved, in your opinion, in planning and carrying out some sort of a crash into the Capitol?
Well, it's very simple, Paul. First of all, it's a waste of time talking about it when there's so many other things going on.
Yeah.
Secondly, Nancy Pelosi was in charge. Okay, a lot of the Republicans called in. They wanted the National Guard to come in. Nancy Pelosi didn't do a damn thing. This should all be on her.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Period.
Yeah.
Okay, end of that. And why waste our time talking about this insurrection when there's so much other things to talk about?
I don't blame you, but you know that the Democrats, this is the straw, maybe the only straw they can grasp at, and it happens to be the anniversary of this straw.
No, let it
tomorrow.
Go, Paul. You know what? They can put it on television. They can talk all they want. I want you to see how good their ratings are on it, okay? Because people aren't even paying attention.
Hey,
those that are paying attention to it are the morons that are looking for excuses to make the Democrat Party everything. They're nothing.
Speaking of that, I have to interject this with you, Andrew. The House committee overseeing this wants to hold primetime hearings on January 6th. I'm talking about in the evening, prime time in the evening, so that, quote, the public can have the best opportunity to hear testimony and evaluate evidence. This is the guy running the whole thing. He's a Mississippi Democrat. His name is Benny Thompson.
They're going to have every Democrat or every Republican talking bad about it.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of horse crap. I'll be watching the American Pickers, believe me.
Yeah.
You know what we should be talking about?
Yeah, go for it.
About how good the Biden administration is now holding back on the monoclonal antibodies,
yeah.
Okay, in the state of Florida. Why don't we talk about that, okay?
Let's
Why don't we talk about Lolita James in New York trying to subpoena the Trump family on the Trump organization? Why don't you call in the Biden family, you bunch of freaking morons?
Okay, let's talk about each of those. Let's go to the Trump thing in New York. Now, that you're talking about Letitia James. Are you talking
that's right.
The Attorney General of the state of New York, who is continuing to slap this thing dead, I guess, beating a dead horse, do you think, on this?
Of course, Paul.
Yeah. So she wants to get at Trump. She's trying desperately to find something, and they're trying to subpoena as many documents as they can. Have they been running into a buzzsaw at all in front of the
courts?
They've
been running into nothing, Paul. They're looking for needles in a haystack. Okay. You know what else we should be talking about, Paul?
What?
How come life insurance companies are seeing an all-time high, 40% of death increases among working people? The working class between 18 and 65, 40% higher than it's ever been in the history of this country. And you know what they're attesting it to, Paul?
What?
They're attesting it to the shot, Paul.
You think the COVID shot
They don't have the proof yet. They don't have the proof. They are working on it. But the insurance companies are saying the deaths of the working class people are 40% higher than they've been in the history of this country.
Where are you hearing this?
No, I wish I could pull it up on
my
phone.
Well,
right
it does sound. It sounds a little spooky to me. I don't think. First of all, you say the insurance companies. That's like saying, you know, the public in general believes this, that, the other. You got a million different opinions about everything.
Well,
nobody can agree on COVID.
I'd rather believe the insurance company than the government, Paul.
I know, Andrew, but nobody understands yet. Look, everybody is stumbling all over themselves on this COVID situation. Nobody knows, really. Nobody.
People are falling all over the place, getting in lines for something that has the cold symptoms.
I know.
These people should be lining up to get it so they got immunity against this. But that's how stupid the people are in this country.
We talked about
a
new
variant
before you came on. Earlier, we talked about a new variant. Did you hear about that coming out of France?
Oh, another one coming out of France.
France.
I told you. They need to worry about the one I told you about, the Megatron. That's coming. I'm so sick of hearing this, Paul. I'm going on with my life.
Yeah, no, good.
If these morons want to spend 10 hours a day waiting in line to get a test to see if their runny nose will stop, let them stay there. I got better things to do with my life.
You know, and this is just my personal opinion. Now, I have not ever got any of this stuff, and I wander around everywhere without a mask, unless I'm forced to put one on. And, for instance, I had to go over to the Spectrum office in the shopping plaza, dropping off some equipment, okay? I go in there. Only the employees are wearing masks, and they're standing behind those little glass windows. All of the public that are standing and wandering around, I don't remember anybody wearing a mask. Now, this is Florida. If you were in New York, everybody would be forced to wear a mask, would they not, if they went into a place like that? Or in many of these other states?
Forced to do. That's why they're representatives came down here.
So my point is that nobody knows. And these cloth masks, nobody even can. Now they're saying the cloth masks aren't good enough. So nobody knows. And this latest Omicron variant apparently penetrates a cloth mask. Did you know that?
Paul, anything's going to penetrate a cloth mask.
Yeah,
I've painted many of cars before. Okay, put one of those cloth masks on and see the vapors that come through that cloth.
You are right. That's exactly right. So nobody, I don't think anybody understands what's going on. My point
then
is,
why are the people so stupid to listen to this?
Because we have been, what's the word? We have been trained to listen to what we think are experts. And these experts are no better than we are. In some cases, they're screwier than we are. But isn't that the way when you go to a doctor? You expect him to know what the hell he's talking about when he's treating you. So it's the same thing with scientists that are doing this kind of thing. But everyone has a different opinion. That's why I'm saying you can't trust the experts because nobody's an expert on this.
Well, then you know what? You shouldn't trust nothing. Just go live about your life.
Yes.
And stop causing all this bullcrap that's
true.
Going on. Oh, Nikki Fried, DeSantis is hiding. He's holding all the tests on us to himself. What is wrong with these people? They're freaking stupid. These are our politicians that want to get elected or run this country. They're going to run it right into the ground. That's all they're going to do.
I think Ron DeSantis' stock has gone straight up. I think people look at Ron DeSantis and go, here is a level head. Among all of the people that are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, this guy is maintaining his cool. He's doing what he thinks is best. And what he seems to think is best is letting the people themselves kind of make up their own mind on how they're going to handle it. He's not against wearing masks or inoculations, but he's not going to force it down your throat. And I think that's why his stock is at the top. I think that's why, no matter what's going on right now, I think in another 3 years, they might be begging him to run for president.
Well, Paul, you know, AOC is the living proof about Florida, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
She came here to vacation late. Why
yes, she did
she stay up in New York and sit in the bar she came from?
I know.
Celebrate?
Because she's a hypocrite.
That's right. She's a perfect Democrat.
She goes Everyone around and a having a grand time. A bunch of them have done it when they don't think anybody is watching, although AOC must realize. I think AOC has got, what's the word? She loves the spotlight, right? She loves it. She loves the spotlight.
Well, she gets the spotlight, but I don't think I'd want the spotlight being, known as a stupid idiot.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. So, I want to, and before we go, you touched on it. This medication that Ron DeSantis wants the federal government to make available, what is that again?
It's the monoclonal antibodies.
Yes, yes.
Regeneron.
And he's asking the federal government is trying to hoard it.
They're holding it back, Paul.
Yes.
You know why? Because they know it works. It's a Republican that made it. It made it popular. Should prove that it works. So the idiots, instead of let the people die, besides the fact of how many people are dying. I wonder how many people died with the Omicron, but they don't tell the deaths no more, do they? Oh, a million people got a cold in our country today. Get the freaking NyQuil.
Well, Yeah, so this...
It disgusts me, Paul. It just disgusts me how stupid these people are. It really does.
Didn't Donald Trump talk about this medication before?
Donald Trump was the one that got it.
Yeah. And so now Ron DeSantis wants it to be made available. You would think, and I know what they're saying, here's their excuse. Well, we have to ration it because we don't want one person to hoard it. Well, they're hoarding it.
They're hoarding it. Paul, again, all they're doing is fear factoring this country because that's all they got to hold on. Insurrection and COVID. Insurrection and COVID. Well, I can't wait till the Chinese drop their first bomb over here and then see if that stops the COVID from flying around. Yeah. They probably will.
By the way, do you know that the Chinese say 6 people have caught the virus in China? Did you know that? I was just reading that they claim only 6 people have got. Can you believe that they get away with that?
Oh, look what they get away with in this country.
I know.
Look what goes on today. What can they get away with? It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. And the whole insurrection thing, like I said, everybody turn your television on to the American Pickers unless you want to watch a bunch of morons cry like babies.
Hey, by the way,
let me tell you what, Paul.
Yeah.
With the way these people are getting accused of with this insurrection and everything else, it's too bad they didn't knock a few of them off at that time because at least they would have got something done of what they're getting accused for.
Yeah, the only person that really that got killed, wasn't it the woman that was coming through?
That's right. And she got killed by a black officer that we don't hear nothing about. You know why? Because he's black.
A Capitol Police officer, yeah. But it was Ashley Bobbitt. Yeah,
that's
why
you didn't hear about it, Paul.
There was somebody got hit with a fire extinguisher and somebody that suffered a heart attack, but I'm not sure that they died from the insurrection, right?
No, it's like I say, Paul, they got nothing else to talk about. And you know what? These politicians should be scared to walk around of what they're doing to this country. What happened to all the nuts that used to be out there?
Yeah, right. I agree. Andrew, finally, how is your dear wife doing?
She's doing great, Paul, but believe it or not, she's dealing with a lot of hair loss from the COVID.
Really?
Yeah, I've noticed that even a lot of my customers that had the COVID very, very bad are losing a lot of hair.
I have not heard that one. And is it from the Omicron variant?
No, that's just probably the hairs on your nose might fall out with that one. But
for the original?
I don't know if it's from the steroids they pumped in them or whatever, but they're severely losing their hair.
Wow, I haven't heard that one.
My wife at this point will hardly even go out of the house.
Well, it's going to grow back because it's not something, what I mean?
Supposedly it is. I've been researching a lot about it. Yeah. I've made my living with hair, so.
I know you do. Oh, my God.
I researched it, but.
Well, keep us posted.
Eight of my clients are going through the same thing.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll keep us posted on that one, my friend, and we will be talking again after. Are you going to listen to the Voice of Reason tomorrow when I talk with them?
No, I don't listen to them.
You're not going to?
No, to me it's a total waste of time.
Yeah, but I'm going to be on.
They got nothing I want to hear.
Well, what about me? Don't I get a chance to? Why don't you listen to me sometimes?
What time are you going to be on?
I'm just teasing you. I'm going to be on.
I'm when you're on. Otherwise, I got better things to do.
No, you go ahead.
The bullcrap propaganda.
Well, you go ahead and do what you need to do. Yeah, I'll be on between 10:30 and 10:45. But in the meantime, for sure, you and I will both be on again on Friday. And I thank you so much, my friend.
You got it, Paul. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Have you heard that one, Ed, about losing your hair if you've got the COVID? That's a scary thought.
I have not heard that.
No. Okay. Well, we are going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, Joe Biden's poll numbers continue to plummet. We're going to take a look at the latest bad news for the president and the top 10 greatest movie quotes of all time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are In the Know and In the Now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you for joining us. By the way, Freedom Works is here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network, and we thank you for joining us when we do it live. However, if you are not able to listen to us live because of other things that you have to do, like Andrew the Master Barber sometimes, why don't you listen to us on podcast? Big Ed has set all our shows up on podcast, and all you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. At the top, you'll see the podcast button. Click on it, and away you go. Thanks to Big Ed. All right. Well, another day, another low approval survey for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's disapproval rating has hit a new high in December. 56% of voters now say they disapprove of Joe Biden's job. That is the worst reading of his presidency. And by the way, this comes from the CNBC Change Research poll. So it's a liberally slanted poll, some people would say. But 56, it says here, Biden's approval is 44%, but his disapproval is 56%. He's lost 2 points in favorability since September, according to this poll. And this comes, of course, as he's trying to tackle all kinds of economic troubles and the virus. Good luck, Joe. All right, Ed, before we go, I got to ask you again, because not that I care about this guy. I think it's kind of like talking about January 6th to someone that doesn't want to talk about it anymore. But Antonio Brown, is he a buck or is he not a buck? This guy I thought was fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for his shenanigans in the last game, but now I'm reading he may still be on the roster.
Well, he's not technically on the roster. I think what they're trying to do is they've been consulting with the NFL front office to figure out maybe the best thing to do is rather than keep turning your backs on some of these players that have problems is maybe to get them some help. So
I already thought they had all kinds of resources for help.
Well, they don't take don't it. They? That's they just
well,
don't take
it.
I mean,
you can lead a horse to water. You can't make them drink it.
Well, the thing
the
is,
NFL
the
is
thing
trying.
Is when you're under contract and you have to, and you. And you're scheduled for rehabilitation, whether it's a knee or an ankle or your brain. You have to
brain
do
rehabilitation.
If he's got a mental issue, then maybe they're going to hold his feet to the fire, so to speak, on that he doesn't get paid.
So they probably do have some sort of a con. I mean, that might have been Bruce Arians is the coach of the Bucks. He might have said something in the spirit of the moment, but they still have a contract. They got to work out with him, right?
Well,
is that it? That's all. Well,
when they wind up cutting him, he'll get some sort of a portion of the contract.
So you don't think he's ever going to be a Buck again?
He'll never play in a uniform again.
Not at all.
No. Okay.
This is the third team.
You got to remember, he's 33 years old now. Yeah. You know, and he's been banged up most of the year.
Okay.
So I really.
This
I think they're trying to take the high road to this and get him some help rather than just cut ties with him and say...
You don't think some team desperate for a receiver
You got to remember there's only a few games left, and that includes the playoffs, so he'd have to go to a playoff team. And you got to remember he's not healthy.
Yeah.
He's not healthy. Well, That's why he walked off the field.
Well, he claims he's not healthy because of his leg situation.
Well, do you sign him and take a chance on that?
I know.
And then all his Atlantics, too.
Yeah, you're right. All right, my friend. Very good. We have come up with the top 10 greatest movie quotes of all time. And I want to find out if you think you know what is considered the greatest movie line ever uttered by an actor in a movie. Mm. So here we go. Listen carefully, Ed, as we do these so you don't repeat one of them, okay? Here we go. Number 10. You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here. Who said that, Ed? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Besides me. Travis Bickle said it.
Okay.
Robert De Niro in The Taxi Driver in 1976. Okay. Number 9. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night. That was said by Betty Davis, playing the actress, an actress in the movie, Margot Channing, in All About Eve, 1950. Great movie, by the way, on TV. Number 8. May the Force be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know that one.
Sure.
Who?
Well, a lot of them said it, but it was
in Star.
Han Solo.
Would you believe Han Solo said it?
Yeah.
And
they all said that.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Harrison Ford, 1977.
You go to lunch, they say, may the Force be with you.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Here we go. You won't know this one, but number 7. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
You're right. No.
That was character Norma Desmond, played by the actress Gloria Swanson in the 1950 movie Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, black and white, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can leave me out of those.
Oh, you never... Why don't you like black and white movies?
Not enough color.
Well, of course there's not enough color, but there's black and white. All right. Number 6. Go ahead. Make my day.
Oh, I can do that much better.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Wow. How did you have that?
Because I knew that would be one of the top ones. I knew it.
Well, Ed, I was going to tell him that was really you, and now you went ahead and blown. Okay. Harry Callahan, played by Clint Eastwood in Sudden Impact, 1983, a Dirty Harry movie. Number 5. Here's looking at you, kid. You don't know that one.
Another one of your black and white movies.
It is a black and white, yeah. Perhaps the greatest black and white movie, Casablanca. Yeah. Humphrey Bogart said that in 1942, Casablanca. Number 4. Now, you better know this one. Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Of course, that was Dorothy.
That's right. In The Wizard of Oz, 1939. Judy Garland. Number 3. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a bum, which is what I am, let's face it.
Sounds like one of your black and white movies.
It is. It's Marlon Brando playing, by the way, the character was Terry Molloy in On the Waterfront, 1954. All right, number 2. I'm going to make him an offer he cannot refuse.
Godfather.
That's right. Marlon Brando again. Playing Vito Corleone in The Godfather. So he had the second and third greatest movie quotes of all time. All right. What do you think, Ed? What's the number one movie quote?
I would have thought Make My Day was going to be number one.
I'll give you a big hint. Think Clark Gable. Remember him?
Like I said, another one of your black and white movies. Nope.
Comes from Gone with the Wind.
All right.
No?
Nope.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. It's Rhett Butler to Scarlett O'Hara at the very end of the movie. The last words that he says as he walks down the little cobblestone path away from the house. Gone with the Wind, 1939. So there you go. All right, my friends. Thank you so very much. Make my day and be back on Friday. But remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.